Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful, beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about 77, 78 degrees outside, just a beautiful day in Oklahoma. And I had a good weekend, and I'm ready to talk sports with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call in the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice at hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. And I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for today. We're going to talk a lot of NBA. We'll talk about the weekend that was in the NBA and get you ready for the NBA playoffs. Also, I'll give you my thoughts on the MVP race, which I think now is over, officially over, is done, but we'll talk about that coming up in a couple of minutes. But before we talk basketball, we can talk some other sports as well. We can talk about the Masters. Sergio Garcia wins his first ever major on on the first playoff hole. He could have easily won it on the 18th hole, missed an easy putt for him, I guess. Well, not an easy putt, but a makeable putt that he could have made, but he didn't knock it down. He didn't get it in. And also, but he did shoot a 69, so finishing what tie for 9 under par, but like I said, he wins in the playoff. Justin Rose, he finished his second. He had every opportunity to win, didn't play well down the stretch, and Sergio Garcia took advantage of that, and he wins his first ever green jacket. Ricky Fowler, Oklahoma's own Ricky Fowler, he finished his round. He was a +4. So four over par, he finished in 11th place, so a disappointing finish for Ricky Fowler. He was in contention until late, and then he struggled, and Sergio Garcia wins the Masters. He was a guy who came in 1999. He was supposed to win multiple majors and hadn't won one, and yet that, you know, that shows, you know, that shows, look, he didn't give up. He said, I'm going to stick with it, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to finally win a major, and that's what happened. I mean, you got to give up to him. He could have easily quit and said, you know, enough of this. I'm 37. I'm tired of this. I'm going to retire. But he said, nope, I'm going to win a major, and he finally gets the job done and wins a major. So you got to feel happy for Sergio Garcia. I'm more of a Tiger Woods fan than a golf fan, I would say. But if Tiger Woods, if he's not going to win, well, at least Sergio Garcia wins, because you got to feel happy for him. He stuck to it and wins the Masters, so we can talk about that. We can also talk some NFL. Tony Romo to CBS. So we talked about this on a Friday show. Tony Romo to CBS. Phil Simms out and Tony Romo in. And now, a lot of people were saying, well, it's weak that Tony Romo still has something left, and he's not going to play, and we can continue to play. He could have played for the Texans or the Broncos and try to win a Super Bowl title. But look, I'm not going to hate on Tony Romo. If he wants to retire, that's understandable. I can understand. And this is a really great – he steps into a great situation, which could be a great situation for him, being the lead analyst for CBS, working along with the great Jim Nance, a true professional. So he'll teach Tony Romo and help him learn the ropes of color analyzing the game. So it'll be interesting to see how Tony Romo does at that. Obviously, he knows the game, but it's different, you know, trying to tell people about the game. It'll be interesting to see how Tony Romo does in that capacity. So we definitely can talk about that. Also, we can talk about Adrian Peterson. He's going to visit the Saints on Tuesday. He's going to visit the Saints on Tuesday. So we'll see how that goes. it's going to be interesting to see where Adrian Peterson lands. Is he going to go with the Patriots? Is he going to land somewhere else? So that'll be very, very interesting to see where he goes as well. So we can talk about that as well. We can also talk Major League Baseball. My favorite team, the New York Yankees, they did lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles this weekend. The bullpen blows those two losses. The bullpen blows those games. So that's a little disheartening. But the Yankees did win on Sunday, scoring 4 runs in the 9th. So that was good to see, as the Yankees were 2-4 at that point. Sabathia was pretty good. He was really good. He pitched 6 innings. He only gave up 6 hits and 3 runs. So that was a good thing on Sunday for the Yankees. And then the Yankees played really well today, beating the Rays. I believe the final score was 8-1. Michael Pineda, he pitched really well for the Yankees. So, and also the Yankees got their bats going at home. And you know the Yankees are going to score runs at home in Yankee Stadium. So the Yankees are now 3-4, got to get to 500. And that'll be the next thing for the Yankees. Can they get to 500? So we can talk about that. Also, the Cleveland Indians, they are now 3-3. They started the season 3-0, but they were swept by Arizona this weekend, who was 6-1, leading the NL West early. We all know baseball is the ultimate marathon, not a sprint. And then also the Cubs, they get their rings tonight and their ring ceremony, so it'll be interesting to see that. They're going to be partying in Chicago, first time in 108 years that they've won a MLB title, so I know they're going to celebrate tonight. But right now, before we take a quick break, we do have a caller on the line. Let's get this call in. You're on Moe's Sports Talk. Go ahead, please.
What up? This is JoJo from JoJo's Replay. I just wanted to come on your show and ask a question or two.
Okay, thanks for calling.
No problem, man. I just wanted to get your opinion on the whole Romo deal. Now that he's with CBS and gone, do you feel like Romo deserves to be put in the Cowboys Ring of Honor or no? I'm curious on your response.
That's a really good question. I'm going to say yes with the numbers that he put up, even though he didn't have that much success in the postseason, but he put up some really good numbers for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, so I'm going to have to say yes on that. I know he struggled in the postseason. I believe he only won one playoff game.
Not good at all.
Two playoff games? Okay, thanks. Yeah,
but he lost 4.
I
feel like he deserves to be there, too. Just what he brought to the Cowboys. I mean, when you think about it, before Romo, we were, like, dead in the water when it came to the quarterback position. I feel like if they would have gave him maybe a better defense to work with a little earlier on in his career and built that offensive lineup maybe earlier on in his career, Romo could possibly done some damage in the postseason. But, I mean, that's just for here nor there now. But I just wanted to come on here and share some thoughts with you and say thank you for following me on my show, and I hope you tune in tonight at 6.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling up. Thank you.
No problem, man.
Have a good one. All right, folks, is that easy? You can call me up just like that, 1-646-929-0429. But right now we're taking another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. We'll break down all everything that took place this weekend. Also, we'll look ahead to the NBA playoffs, which start this weekend. So definitely, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on the MVP race. It's over. In the words of Kenny Smith, I should have tweeted that out. I have to tweet that out tomorrow. In the words of Kenny DeJess Smith, it's over. So we'll definitely talk about that as well. But right now, we're going to take a quick break and listen to some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. If anyone's going to watch The Fate of the Furious, please let me know, okay, because I want to know something about this movie. So if you see The Fate of the Furious this weekend, please let me know on my next show. If you watch it Friday early, or you watch it the day before on Thursday, let me know. I definitely have some questions to ask about The Fate of the Furious before I see it. So definitely let me know on that. That movie comes out on Friday. But we'll listen to that, and then we'll come back. We'll talk NBA. We'll do all that next on Moe's Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man.
Don't shine. Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam, it's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove.
with be the same ones that I doubt with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find wit in the new car or the crown with. My new broad does a fine chick in the weather squad. I'm down with. Ain't no way around it. What you say? Tell me what you say. Working hard, repping for my dogs. Do this every day. Taking off, looking out for all. Making sure we ball like the mob. All you do is talk. Catch you if you fall.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world of sports, it's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Let's see if we can talk anything in the world of sports. But before we talk NBA, we can talk some college basketball. I did see that Sean Sutton is out at Oral Roberts. He has been let go at Oral Roberts. So that was a little unexpected. So definitely want to hear more details about that. And also Steve Fisher, he has decided to retire from San Diego State as well. I mean, he's a great coach. He coached the Fab Five, if you don't remember, Michigan. And he's done a great job coaching San Diego State, leading them to the tournament in the last couple of years. So he's done a really good job. So he's going to retire. So we can talk about that as well. But let's talk about the weekend that was in the NBA. On Friday, the Hawks, they embarrassed the Cleveland Cavaliers, beating them in Cleveland 114-100. Five Atlanta Hawks were in double figures, led by Tim Hardaway. He scored 22 points. Atlanta shot 51% for the field. They hit 16 threes. Terrible Cavs defense. I mean, that's a horrible loss. And not just you lost at home, but you lost to a Hawks team that was without Paul Millsap, Dwight Howard, Ken Bazemore, and also Dennis Schroeder. All didn't play. How in the world are you the Cavs? How in the world did you lose that game? And you thought, wow, that's the most embarrassing loss I've seen. But it could get it worse, and we'll talk more about the Cavs and their another loss to the Hawks. We'll talk about that coming up in a couple minutes. But that was embarrassing on Friday night. There is no way in the world that you should lose to that Hawks team without Millsap, Howard, Bazemore, and Schroeder. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. I'm just letting you know. I mean, how in the world does that happen? I just don't understand how you lose to that Hawks team. I know you came out and thought you just rolled the ball out and, hey, you know, we're just going to show up and win. You still have to play the game, and they did not play well at all. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. LeBron James, he had 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. Kyrie Irving had 18 points and 7 assists. Kevin Love had a double-double, 15 points and 15 rebounds, but they were only 9 of 36 from the three-point line. So that was an issue. You know, that's one of their biggest strengths is knocking down that outside shot, getting that good ball movement, and knocking down those outside shots. And J.R. Smith, they have to get him going. And the postseason is right around the corner. There's only 3 days left in the NBA regular season. The Cavs need to get going. And I know they had that nice win against the Celtics. And even if they don't get the one seed, I still think they're coming out of the East. Don't forget, we're going to have our special NBA playoff preview show, God's Will, on Friday. That could be subject to change. So stay tuned, but that's the plan. 5:30 on Friday, we'll be breaking down the NBA playoffs one more time, giving you those playoff predictions. So looking forward to that. But J.R. Smith only scoring 3 points on Friday night on 1-6 shooting. They have to get him going. He's a difference maker. You know, he's what we call get buckets. That's what J.R. Smith does. You can give him the ball, he gets buckets. So they have to get J.R. Smith going. That's going to be key for Cleveland going forward, especially offensively. Defense needs to pick it up. We've been talking about that a long time. The defensive intensity has to pick up. But for J.R. Smith, they have to get him going. That'll be key for them. And then also on Friday night, the Suns, they dominated the Thunder, beating them 120-99. Devin Booker scored 37 points. T.J. Warren had 23 points and 16 rebounds. The Suns shot 52% from the field. They hit 8 of 18 threes. Only 7 turnovers for the Suns, so really efficient. For Oklahoma City, a lack of defensive intensity. Lack of defensive intensity, that was a big issue for Oklahoma City. Did not play defense at all. I mean, my goodness, in the first half, the Suns, they got anything and everything they wanted to on the offensive end. They got to the basket. They hit a wide open threes. The perimeter defense was poor. Russell Westbrook scored 23 points, but on 6 of 25 shooting, he did have 12 rebounds and 8 assists, too short of what would have been his 42nd triple-double. He also had 8 turnovers as well, so he did not play well at all. And obviously, Oklahoma City kept him in the game a little too long. The game was out of reach. I know they wanted those 2 assists, but if he had got got hurt, man, that would have been awful. That would have been awful. And the Suns, they weren't going to allow a triple-double in their house. Look, as a fan of Oklahoma City, I would be kind of upset. I would be like, man, I want to see a triple-double. But I can understand the Suns saying, look, you're not going to do history, especially in this blowout. We're not going to let you do history on our court. That's a competitive athlete. I can understand that. But he did clinch the average of triple-double for a year. All he needed was 6 assists. He had 8, so he did clinch averaging a triple-double for the regular season. And who I would have never thought that would happen. I would have never thought that, look, in my lifetime that someone would average a triple-double for a season. I really thought, and when I heard about Oscar Robertson years ago doing that, I said, that's crazy. How in the world is that possible? So, I mean, it's been a historic season for Russell Westbrook, to say the least. In his canter, he scored 17, but they shot just 37% from the field. They were 7-31 from three, so just an awful performance there by the Thunder. That was a horrible loss. I know the Suns are – I know they have some talent, but there's – I know they're at home, but still, I mean, giving up 120 points, so that's pathetic. That was a pathetic showing by the Thunder. We'll talk more about them in a minute. And then on Saturday, the Clippers, they got a nice one. They're playing some great basketball. Watch out for the Clippers. They beat the Spurs 98-87. In San Antonio, Chris Paul had 19 points and assists. DeAndre Jordan had 17 points and 17 rebounds. Four other Clippers were in double figures. They shot 50%, only 6 turnovers, so really efficient for the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard had 25 points and 5 assists for the Spurs. LaMarcus Aldridge added 18, but they shot only 43% from the field, and they also had 13 turnovers. Poor ball movement for the San Antonio Spurs. A little too much standing around, a little too much one-on-one for the Spurs. Their offense really needs to get in gear. Again, the playoffs are right around the corner, and they're really struggling just to score 100 points. And their defense, you can count on the Spurs' defense. They're going to bring their defense. There's no doubt about that. But offensively, if I'm a Spurs fan, I'm a little concerned about their offense. Where's the ball movement? Where's the player movement? That's what the Spurs are known for, knocking down those outside shots. They're not doing that right now. They have to get their offense in gear, period. I mean, if they want to have any opportunity to come out of the West or win an NBA title, they're going to have to score the basketball. And I know they were without Danny Green. He's a big part of their offense. He helps with floor spacing. He opens the floor for his team. So that was a big issue for the San Antonio Spurs, but also the Clippers were without Austin Rivers. So, but still, the Spurs offense, they need to get that in gear. The last two games, I guess I heard Greg told me today that Coach Popovich, Greg from our favorite state, when we chatted with Greg, says he told me that Coach Popovich says that he's not going to rest any of his players the last two games. That's probably smart because they need to get their offense in gear. You don't want to get injured. You don't want to suffer an injury this late in the season, but you have to get that offense in gear. Scoring 87 points, that's not good enough. If you had told me that the Spurs would hold the Clippers to under 100, I said, oh, the Spurs win. They have to get their offense in gear, period, if they want to advance in the NBA playoffs, if they want to beat the Warriors. That's the main thing. Maybe even Houston, but definitely if you want to beat the Warriors, you're going to have to score, period, no matter how good your defense is. Also, on Saturday night, Portland, they beat Utah 101-86, just about clinching a playoff spot for them. Damian Lillard, he dropped 59 on Utah, very impressive. And Utah still trying to get that 4 seed in the West. So that was very impressive by Damian Lillard, big time, 59 points, very, very impressive there, as Portland was one, their magic number was down to 1 at that point to clinch the last playoff spot. And then we talked about Cleveland earlier. And don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, it's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. But again, Atlanta, they embarrassed Cleveland yet again. Atlanta came back from 26 down in the fourth quarter. That's right, 26 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Cavaliers 126-125. 6 Hawks were in double figures. Paul Millsap had 22 points and 9 rebounds. Tim Hardaway is playing some really good basketball for Atlanta. He had 21 points. Also, Atlanta did a great job of getting to the free throw line. They were 29-37 from the free throw line. The Cavs were only 16-20. That's a big difference there. Anytime you make more free throws and the other team attempts. That's a big stat right there. And Atlanta did a great job of being in attack mode and getting to the basket in that game, especially late. Kyrie Irving, he scored 45 points, had 9 assists. LeBron James had a triple-double, 32 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists. He did foul out in overtime, and look, that was not a foul on LeBron James. That was a bad call. But let's not make any excuses for Cleveland. There's no way in the world that it should have came down to overtime. It shouldn't have came down to a bad call. You're up by 26 points in the fourth quarter. That should be a win. That should be a W. That is absolutely ridiculous that you lose that game. Also, Cleveland had 14 turnovers. And look, the number one seed now is in doubt. Right now they're tied with the Boston Celtics at 51-29. They do have the tiebreaker, but it looks like they're going to rest their players in these last two games. No LeBron James tonight, no Kyrie Irving, and no Tristan Thompson. Kevin Love is going to play, which kind of shocks me, but he will play. But without Love and James Irving and also Tristan Thompson, it's going to be really tough for the Cavs to win tonight against Miami, because Miami's still fighting for that eighth playoff spot. We'll talk about that in a minute. So it's not looking good for the Cavaliers getting the number one seed. But like I said earlier, even if the Cavs don't get that number one seed, I'll still pick them to come out of the East. I'm going to give you more than likely. I'm going to have to do some more research this week and get ready for our NBA playoff preview show on Friday. But more than likely, I'll still pick the Cavs to come out of the East. I don't trust these other teams. Yeah, Boston's improved. So is Washington. Toronto's playing some great basketball. They have a great backcourt. But I'm going to stick with what I know. And I know the Cavs and that man, LeBron James, the Cavs has been to two straight NBA finals, and that man has been a six. So it's going to be hard for me to pick them, even if there are the two seeds. So we can talk about that. And then finally, Oklahoma City. They came back last night to beat Denver, 106-105. Russell Westbrook was a story. Another triple-double for him. He scored 50 points. He has 16 rebounds and 10 assists. His 42nd triple-double. Wow. Very impressive. Another impressive game, a big-time game for Russell Westbrook. And he one-ups himself by hitting the game-winning three from deep. And you have to give credit to Denver. They definitely did a great job of defending that inbounds pass. They made things really tough. Cal Singler had to inbound it to Steven Adams. Steven Adams throws it to Russell Westbrook. And he just takes this unbelievable three, 36 feet out, game winning, nothing but net. And I knew when they were down by two, when they were down by one or two or whatever, I said, now, if Oklahoma City has a chance and they need a three to win, I think Westbrook's going to hit that three. Before it even happened, I said, Westbrook's going to win this game with a three, and that's what happened. What a big time, three for Russell Westbrook. My goodness, Oklahoma City had no business winning that game. He scored the team's last 15 points. Ennis Kanter had 15 points and 8 rebounds. Steven Adams had 10 points and 10 rebounds. Cal Singler, he had 8 points and 3 assists. I know he's been playing some horrible basketball, but he played pretty well on Sunday. Also, Oklahoma City was plus 12 on the glass. They did work on the glass. That's what Oklahoma City can do. They can do work on the glass. They also had 22nd chance points. The perimeter defense was really poor in the first half, but it was better in the second half. They got stops. Victor Oladipo with that big, taking a charge. They did a great job of getting stops. Dillinaro Gallinari, I think I pronounced his name right, he had 34 points and 10 rebounds in the loss, but now Denver's out of the playoffs. So all the playoff matchups are set in the West. We'll talk about that in a second. But I want to talk about this MVP race. A lot of people were saying, yeah, it's James Harden, it's neck and neck, it's over. In the words of Kenny Smith, it's over. I'm sorry. Russell Westbrook put a wrap on that with his performance on Sunday. The game-winning three, another triple-double, his 42nd. I'm sorry. I know winning is important. I know Houston, but Houston's a better team. They're the three seed. They're a better constructed team. Look who Russell Westbrook was passing to in the end of that game. Samaje Christian, he's the one who hit the three that gave him this 10th assist. Also, who else was out there? Kyle Singler. I mean, come on now. I mean, please. What Russell Westbrook has done for this Oklahoma City team is just very, very impressive. He is your 2017 NBA MVP. That's over. I'm sorry, James Harden. Nothing wrong with second place, buddy. Nothing wrong with second place. You've had a great season, and your team more than likely will beat Oklahoma City in advance of the NBA playoffs. But the MVP is in Oklahoma. Believe that. I mean, that's done. That is over. It's done with. No argument. It's over with. I don't even want to debate it anymore. It is absolutely done. I mean, my goodness, 42, averaging a triple-double is ridiculously enough, but 42, and he could have had 50. I mean, he was one rebound or one assist short in about 8 or 9 other games. I mean, I'm sorry. And the comebacks, I mean, his willing his team to victory. That's done. It is over. It is over. If you want to debate with me, it's not too late. If you think James Harden is the MVP, you can call me at 1-646-929-0429. I just don't see it. Just don't see it. So that's over with, in my opinion. So we can talk about that if you want. We can also talk about the playoff matchups all set in the West. We know all the matchups in the West. The 1-8 matchup is going to be Golden State versus Portland. You talk about a lot of points are going to be scored. Kevin Durant was back. He played pretty well. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he defended at a high level. He rebounded well. Obviously, the shot's going to come for Kevin Durant. They play again tonight against Utah. I think Steph Curry will be back in the lineup against the Jazz. But that'll be your 1-8 matchup. The 2-7 matchup is the Spurs taking on Memphis. You talk about two teams that really struggle at times to score. That's the Spurs and Memphis. You can count on both of them playing great defense, but both teams really, really struggle to score the basketball as of late. Obviously, you have to give the edge to the Spurs. No, some so-called experts are picking Memphis to beat the Spurs. I just don't see it. Maybe I could be wrong. I know Marc Gasol has been playing some really good basketball. Mike Conley, he has the advantage of that point guard position, but But you talk about games that are going to be really tough, contested games, going to be defensive affairs. That's going to be the Spurs and the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's your 2-7 matchup. The 3-6 matchup should be very entertaining between the two front runners for the MVP. Again, I think it's over. I'm sorry. I know I'm a little biased because I'm here in Oklahoma. My favorite team is the Thunder. Maybe a little biased, but I'm sorry. I mean, the man, he's made a statement. I mean, what he did on Sunday was just downright impressive. My goodness. To win that game, to hit that three. But anyway, we have Thunder taking on the Rockets. The key for the Thunder, though, if they have any chance of beating Houston, they have to dominate on the glass. They have to make the Rockets pay when they go to that small lineup. So Steven Adams and Enes Kanter are going to have to be big. And also the perimeter defense is going to have to be really good for Oklahoma City. That is going to be a real key for the Thunder. Can they rebound at a high level? And the perimeter defense, it has to be on point. They have to be you have to make Houston take tough, contested threes. So that's going to be a big key for Oklahoma City going forward out in the West. And then the 4-5 matchup, we don't know who's going to be the 4-5 seed. Could flip between the Clippers and Jazz. Right now, the Clippers would be your 4th seed. The Jazz would be the 5th seed. I think that's how it's going to finish. The Clippers are playing some really good basketball right now. And they know that their run is coming to an end if they don't make a deep run in the NBA playoffs. And right now, they're playing some really good basketball right now on both ends of the court. You know, if the Clippers were, you know, if they were the 3 seed or they were the 2 seed and could avoid the Warriors in the Western Conference semifinals, I would pick the Clippers to go at least to the Western Conference finals the way they're playing right now. But again, that team out in Golden State, I think they'll probably take out the Clippers. I know Utah is a good basketball team, but the Clippers are playing some really good basketball right now. I don't see the Jazz beating the Clippers. It's been a fantastic season for the Jazz. They have a lot of hype on the inside with Gobert and also Derek Favors. I think they could have an issue scoring against the Jazz, but I just think the Clippers are too talented to lose to the Jazz. But we'll talk more about that on Friday. And in the East, the only thing we know is that Atlanta, they locked up the 5th seed. Everything else is still up for grabs. The 1 seed could switch between Boston and Cleveland. We don't know. Miami could make the playoffs, and the Bulls could be out. Right now they're tied, but the Bulls have the tiebreaker. So the Bulls' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 2. So we can talk about that as well. The East should be entertaining. How entertaining are the semifinals going to be in both conferences? I mean, my goodness, we'll talk more about that on Friday. Don't forget, my next show will be our special NBA playoff preview show, God's will. That's still to be determined. At 5:30 Central Time on Friday, we'll be breaking down all the playoff matchups. I'll give you playoff predictions as well. Hopefully we'll have our favorite segment chatting with Greg on Friday as well, and we'll get his playoff predictions as well. So that'll be on Friday. You'll definitely want to keep it locked to Mo Sports Talk at 5:30 on Friday, God's will. So thank you for listening to my show. Hope you can listen to my next show on Friday. Have a blessed rest of your night and your week, and God is good. Trust him. We'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.